Wissenschaftler untersuchen jetzt die Sprachentwicklung im Australischen und sie stellen fest, dass es eine steigende Anzahl an Akzenten gibt, und zwar wegen des multikulturellen Einflusses. Denn nur einen Akzent zu haben, ein Dialekt in einer Sprache, ist weltweit eigentlich unüblich. Das sagt Professor John Hayek von der Melbourne Universität.
For instance, you can tell when someone's from the south of England, you can tell when someone's from the north of England, you can tell when someone's from Wales, you can tell when someone's from Scotland. But we have a lot of trouble identifying reliably whether someone is from Brisbane or Melbourne or Sydney or Perth.
Ja, und warum ist das so? Die indigenen Australier, sie haben noch vor der Kolonisation über 250 Sprachen gesprochen. Und Australien nach der Kolonisation ist ja eher ein junges Land.
Limited mainly because we're a young country. We're only settled a couple of hundred years ago by Europeans in terms of English, and the fact that we are incredibly mobile.
Trotzdem hat das Australische, das Englisch-Australische lässt sich leicht von anderen englischen Sprachen unterscheiden. Es gibt einen gewissen Akzent, den aber nicht viele im Griff haben, besonders nicht Außenstehende. Und wenn sie es kopieren, dann machen sie es manchmal auch falsch. Das sagt Leith McPherson von der Victorian College of the Arts aus der Abteilung Sprache und Linguistik.
I think one of the things that foreign speakers tend to get wrong about the Australian accent is that they key into the sounds that you'll hear in a Cockney accent. There's quite a famous or infamous episode of The Simpsons where the characters travel to Australia, and I think pretty much every actor that they chose to play an Australian is doing a fairly terrible Cockney accent.
That's a bloody outrage, it is!
And there's definitely an overlap between those two accents. There are qualities of Cockney that are present in the Australian accent, but it's quite distinct. So if you're doing a word like laugh, go back to that hesitation sound, it's that A sound that happens in the middle of the mouth, laugh, whereas like laugh, if I'm talking like that, laugh, it's a position that's much more open in the back of the mouth.
Es gab aber eine Zeit in den 50er, 60er, 70er, sogar bis in die frühen 80er Jahre, da haben einige Australier probiert, das aus dem australischen Akzent etwas abzuwerfen und einen eher britischen Akzent anzunehmen. Selbst hier bei SBS war das der Fall.
This is SBS Ethnic Television, coming to you on ABN 2 in Sydney and ABV 2 Melbourne.
Good morning, my name is Deepak and welcome to Ethnic Television.
If you listen to radio and television recordings from the 50s, 60s and 70s, it's quite striking how British it sounds, but the announcers are all Australian. And it really was a model that we tried to emulate. And so when you listen to older speakers, particularly of a certain social class, they definitely sound much more British. They're what we call cultivated Australian English speakers.
Ja, aber diese Zeiten, die sind jetzt vorbei, sagt Professor Hayek weiter, denn früher war es so, je breiter der Akzent, desto ungebildeter war man und je kultivierter man sprach, desto mehr galt man als gebildet oder wohlhabend.
The broader your accent, you're more likely to have lower education. The more cultivated your accent, the more likely you are to have elevated levels of education. The more likely you are to have wealth. So in fact, there's a whole tradition that's now basically disappeared of Australians trying to sound more upper class, more British, by doing speech and elocution lessons. So my mother's generation, grandmother's generation, spent a lot of time in school learning how to speak proper.
Aber gehen wir nochmals zurück zu dem australischen Akzent. Sie kennen sicher die erfolgreiche Fernsehserie Kath and Kim. Da gab es zwei Charaktere, das waren Prue und Trude, zwei Charakteren aus dem Stadtteil Brighton in Melbourne.
You're going away for the school holidays?
Oh, look, we were going to go to Falls, but there's no snow.
No?
No, so yeah, I don't know. What about you?
I just want to go bush, you know, somewhere off the beaten track.
Really? So we're going to go?
Noosa.
There's the two contrasts. There's the characters Trude and Jude, I think their names are, who've got these sort of upper class Australian accents. And if you listen to them, you can hear how different they are from Kath and Kim.
Look at this. Peach's Beauty Salon have got a free offer. A mother and daughter face peel. What do you reckon?
Give it a bone, please. You are adding to my stress levels.
Kath and Kim really play on the broader Australian accent. So the whole joke of, you know, she doesn't say nice, she says noise. So, you know, those sort of vowel changes that we associate with a much broader Australian accent.
Es sind kleine Unterschiede, aber sie werden ernst genommen, sehr ernst von den Sprachwissenschaftlern. Es wird nämlich untersucht, ob zum Beispiel irische Migranten oder Migranten aus China den australischen Akzent übernehmen. Dr. Debbie Laux, ebenfalls von Victorian College of the Arms aus der Abteilung Sprache und Linguistik.
And it seems so far that people have been here around 10 years maybe adopting certain features, but there's also potentially resistance. So, you know, people might not want to sound like the group that they're moving towards, and they might like to keep their own accent, and they might be very conscious of it. And in that way, we've got those factors of identity being involved in someone maintaining their own accent. In the case of a second language, they're probably more motivated to start sounding like the group that they actually arrive to. It depends on where the people are from, if it's a second dialect, a second language, whether they believe their accent's prestigious in the first place.
Und hier noch einmal ein letztes Mal Professor Hayek. Er meint, dass es regional tatsächlich Unterschiede gibt und dass man wirklich unterscheiden kann, woher gewisse Australier kommen.
So there is evidence that we're getting Melbourne is starting to show itself to be distinctive, and it's because of one vowel. And even the way we say the city name has changed, so the many people in Melbourne refer to it as Melbourne. So they open the vowel. And that's what outsiders often identify as characteristic of Melbourne speech. But in fact, when we start looking, we're starting to find the same thing in Brisbane now. So things are changing. Because of the movement, because of the mass media and all of those sorts of things change very quickly.